Well, if you have a Bible or a church Bible this morning, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, in the church Bibles, it's page 653. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he comes to the conclusion of this Sermon on the Mount, calls on all who hear him to enter the kingdom of God. He's saying, don't just admire the teachings that he's been bringing, the teachings of Jesus. Don't just say that his teaching is exalted, moral, visionary, glorious. He's saying, enter the kingdom. Embrace the kingdom. Turn from self-will and trust in him. Build your life upon him, the solid rock, Jesus Christ. And in order to bring that conclusion to our minds and hearts and lives this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ then speaks about two builders. And the parable is meant to illustrate the danger of hearing the Lord Jesus Christ, but not doing what he says. The danger of listening to a sermon this morning, but not actually in faith embracing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are many people who hear the Sermon on the Mount and say, what exalted teaching this is. But don't actually embrace Jesus Christ by faith as Lord and Savior in heart and life. So that's what Jesus is warning about here. Warning about hearing, but not doing. We could think of it this way. Imagine that you are the assistant to the chief executive of a growing company. And the owner of the company is thinking of expanding the company, so he goes overseas and he's going to set up a new branch office in a new country to expand his country, to expand his company. And while he's away, he puts you in charge. He says, you're going to be now in charge while I'm away of a busy company in London. But he'll write to you regularly. He'll send you letters and keep you informed about what's needed to be done to make sure the company keeps running well. So the owner leaves, he goes overseas, the flow of letters come back. You're in charge, but eventually the owner who's gone overseas, he returns. And when he comes back to the head office here in London, he is alarmed. The grass and the weeds outside the office have all grown high, and some of the windows in the office are broken. He goes in, the receptionist is painting her nails. She's listening to pop music. She's not interested in anybody who's coming in to the reception area. He tries to find you, but you're too busy to talk to him because you're playing chess with one of the sales executives. His office has been turned into a TV room where the staff can watch soaps in the afternoon. Everything is running down. The waste paper bins are full, the place is looking unkept, the carpets haven't been vacuumed for months. What's going on, he asks. What's going on? And when he eventually finds you, he says, well, what's going on here? I sent you my letters week after week while I was away. Didn't you read them? And you say, oh yes, we read your letters. Every Sunday, twice, on a Thursday evening, we read your letters. We studied them very carefully. Some people even memorized some parts of your letters. Some people even memorized whole chunks of the letters you wrote. And the owner is amazed. He's saying, well, you received my letters. You read them. Some of you even memorized them. Some of you even memorized chunks about them. What did you do about them, though? Oh, says the person who's been in charge of the company. We didn't do anything. See what Jesus is saying? You can hear his word this morning. You might even be able to memorize part of the Sermon of the Mount. But have you done what he says? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, says Jesus, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So the first thing we can say here is, Christians embrace the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, not only hearing his word, but doing his word. They embrace him in faith. You may hear the words of Jesus this morning, but to be a real Christian means not just hearing his words, but then acting upon them, doing them in your life. There are many people in the United Kingdom this morning who give lip service to Jesus Christ. But the question is, embracing him in faith, trusting in him as Lord and Savior, building your life upon him. Soren Kierkegaard addressed the Lord Jesus Christ's warning here about hearing and doing in a parable that he called Duck Land. He says, it was Sunday morning. All the ducks dutifully came to the duck church. They settled down in their seats. And when they're well settled, the hymns were sung. The duck minister waddled up into the pulpit. He opened the Bible, said, ducks, you have wings. And with wings, you can fly like eagles. You can soar into the sky. Use your wings. And the ducks thought it was a marvelous sermon. And all the ducks quacked their assent with a hearty amen. But when they got up from their pews, how should they have got home? They should have flown home. But all the ducks, says Kierkegaard, waddled home. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to do. It's one thing to acknowledge that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, even. It's another thing to embrace him in faith as your Lord, your Savior. So the Lord Jesus is expanding on a theme that he's spoken about already in verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's one thing to say something with words, says Jesus. But do you know the heart reality this morning of a changed life? A life that's being built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is showing us here, when that grace comes into your life, you build your life upon him. That also changes you. You're forgiven by the grace of God. And then that same grace begins a work in you to change you, mold you, fashion you into the image of Jesus Christ. God forgives you. He wants to make you like his Son, holy, beautiful, righteous. That you be a person this morning who has a vibrant, living relationship with God. Building on the rock, then, is life changing. So Jesus is saying there are people who say, Lord, Lord, who may even think they're Christians, but they don't have that living, vital relationship. They don't truly know the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God, and their lives are not being transformed by God's grace. So Jesus is warning here. It's even possible to have a verbal profession of faith, he's saying. Be respectful of Jesus, but not actually do his words. There's a great deal in the United Kingdom of what we might call nominal Christianity. People who are nominally Christian. If they're asked on a tick form what religion they are, they tick Christian. But it's just an outward profession. There's no heart reality to it, and people do not build their lives upon Jesus Christ. So it's not enough to hear Jesus' sayings. It's not enough to understand them even. Not enough to remember them, to talk about them, to repeat them, to discuss them, to admire them. to hear them and do them, says Jesus. So the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about you embracing him this morning with the whole of your life, with heart and soul and mind. And that's something that's continually stressed in Jesus' teaching and in the whole of the Bible. So, for example, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, if I can just give you one example, the Lord Jesus says, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Who is in the true family of God, not those who merely hear his word, but who do his will. Or as Luke expands on it in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26, listen to how Luke describes the same thing. Jesus said, "What king going to make war against another king does not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Jesus is talking about the cost of Christian discipleship, what it means to be a real Christian. He says, now think about this. Think about it like a king who's considering a military campaign. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Whatever you're building your life on this morning, says Jesus Christ, if it's sand, if it's not built on him, the rock, everything else is sand. Forsake it all," he's saying. "Whatever it is, whoever it is who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Are you building your life on him? Now, the Lord Jesus is only reinforcing, actually, what we are taught also in the Old Testament, where time and again we are told it's not a theoretical knowledge that there is a God. It's not knowing certain facts about God or the Bible, but to embrace the Lord with the whole of your life. True wisdom is not just theory. It's something that's heart practical. And so the Lord Jesus stresses it over and over and over again. Here's him speaking about the same thing in John chapter 14 and verse 15, where he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 24, "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Chapter 15, verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Now the Lord Jesus is not saying that we are saved by our obedience. That is not what the Lord Jesus is saying. The Lord Jesus is calling upon us to build our lives on him. On his person, the authority of who he is, and his word. He's calling you this morning to respond in faith to the gospel, to Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, to embrace him by faith. But you see, all who do that have their lives transformed. We're being changed. Now, not all are being transformed to the same degree. There are many Christians I wish I could emulate their maturity and godliness. But every real Christian in some degree is being transformed. God is at work in you. So if you're a real Christian, you're being changed, conformed, fashioned into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, beware then of a nominal Christianity where there's no heart reality. And there's no reality of that profession in a person's life. You may be placed in a workplace or a school or a university or a street or a neighborhood where there are people who claim to be Christians but don't live as Christians. Now that is a very dangerous place to be, to say you're a Christian but not live as one. Jesus says a disciple professes Jesus with lips and with life. Union with Jesus Christ, building on him as the solid rock. That's the foundation for the Christian life. So I'm asking this morning, do you have this saving relationship with Jesus Christ? It's my privilege to often hear accounts of how the grace of God has changed someone's life. All of us need to ask that question. Has the grace of God changed your life? Beware of an empty profession of faith, where Jesus will say to some at the last day these sobering words in Matthew 7, verse 23, where Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So the first thing, Christians embrace the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. The second thing is, Christians do not merely give lip service to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians do not merely give lip service then to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So Jesus is saying, consider the foundation for your life. What's your life built on? Is your life built on your ambitions, your own agenda, your own ethical code, your own desires? What society tells you, what the media tells you? Or is your life this morning really built on Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ himself and his word. Jesus saying everything else is sand. If your life is not built on him, it's been built on sand. Notice Jesus isn't saying whether or not you attend church or whether or not you have some sort of Christian background. He's asking, is your life really being built on him? Now, you see, we can't look into someone else's heart and see the foundation for a person's life. I can't look into your heart this morning and say, aha, I see the foundation for your life. But you can look at a person's life. And you can see what happens, says Jesus, when storms come in this life. Difficulties, trials, problems. When the storms come, says the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an indication of whether a person is building a life on Jesus Christ or not. When the pressures of life come, do you stand with Jesus Christ? Do you show that your life is built on him? Or does it just collapse because it's built on shifting sand? There's a man called Ravi Zacharias who often speaks for Jesus Christ in university settings and was giving a lecture at Ohio State University, where there's a new art center there called the Wexner Art Center. So what the driver who was driving him to give the lecture said to him, this is a new art building for the university. It's a fascinating building designed in the postmodern view of reality. The building has no pattern. Staircases go nowhere. Pillars support nothing. The architect designed the building to reflect life. It goes nowhere. Is mindless and senseless. It goes nowhere, is mindless and senseless. Ravi Zacharias turned to the driver and asked him, did he do the same thing with the foundation? Driver laughed. He said, oh no, he said, you can't do that with the foundation. You start tampering with the foundations, you'll see serious effects. What are the foundations for your life this morning? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not saying that we are saved by works. He's not saying we are saved by obedience. But he is stressing those who hear the gospel, those who put their faith and trust in him, those who build their lives on the rock, those who express that faith in new life, a living relationship with God, that will be seen in a changed life, and especially, perhaps, when the trials, the difficulties come. To see what foundation you're building on. Some are building houses in this world just for the here and now of this world. Pleasures and money and self-importance and self-will. But some are building for the now and the not yet, in light of eternity. You see, you can join a church even, attend a church, and be lost. You can be a good person in the eyes of people, but be lost. You can build your life on religion and be lost. You can build your life on atheism or human wisdom, human philosophy. Certainly the media will push you in that direction this morning. But when you die, you'll be lost, says Jesus. It's building your life on him. Then your house will stand at that great day. Now, the person who built his house on the sand didn't intend his house to collapse. He just didn't think about the foundations too much. He had a misplaced confidence. He thought, outwardly, there was nothing wrong with his house, nothing wrong with the materials. You see, the problem was in the foundation, which you can't see. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you're a wise person this morning if you're building on the foundation of who he is, what he has done, Jesus Christ himself. Now, that doesn't mean that the other things in this life are all unimportant. It just means the wise person gets priorities right. Jesus has already said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. So take stock this morning what your life is being built on. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying. And then when the difficulties of life will come, there will be something substantial, real, because the house is being built on a proper foundation. Not on sand where everything just collapses. So this is not just lip service, saying, Lord, Lord. This is a wholehearted, a whole-souled response to Jesus Christ and his word, embracing him by faith, turning from sin, asking for forgiveness, knowing his grace in your life. Christians embrace the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Christians do not merely give lip service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, then, Christians build their lives on Jesus Christ for eternity. In no uncertain terms, we find in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 clear indications to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, equal with God the Father in glory and power, and that he is presented to us as the only way of salvation. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, says Jesus. Everyone who does not hear these sayings of mine, what is Jesus claiming? He's claiming divine power and glory. Build your life on what he says. And we read in verse 28, so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and as not as the scribes. Now notice the sad thing there is Matthew says they were astonished by his teaching. They were flabbergasted. They never heard a sermon like it before. But what Matthew doesn't say is, as a result then, they embraced Jesus Christ by faith. They believed upon him. It's possible to hear the teachings of Jesus Christ, but still not embrace him in faith, even to be astonished at the teaching, thrilled by it, moved by it. But Jesus is saying, your eternal destiny depends not whether you've been temporarily affected, but whether he knows you and you know him, or whether you don't know him and he doesn't know you. Are you building your life on the rock? Some time ago now, there was a report in the papers about a sailor in the Royal Navy who was punished for a breach of discipline, and because the punishment, some people thought it was severe. The newspaper report invited people to write in and express their opinions. And one of the men who answered had served for many years in the Royal Navy himself. And he was writing in to say that in his opinion the punishment was not too severe. He was saying it wasn't too severe because in the Navy there are times when a person has to obey orders and that a person's life may depend on it. And then he gave an example from his own experience. He said he was in a launch which was towing a much heavier ship in rough seas. And the ships were attached by a wire, what's called a wire hawser, like a wire line, like a rope. And he said, suddenly, as we were towing this ship, rough seas, the wind blowing, the officer in charge of the launch shouted an order. He just said one word, down! And everybody on the launch flung themselves down on the deck. And he shouted down like that loudly because the wire rope snapped. And it snaked like this. And it was such a heavy, fast-moving rope. If someone had been struck by the rope, instantly they'd been killed. No one was injured, he said, because they automatically obeyed the word of command. Now, if you'd been there and argued, he said, why should I jump down onto the deck? Or why should I jump down on the deck? That person would have been a dead man. That obedience saved lives. So you're saying discipline like that in the Navy is important. Well, if it's important in the Royal Navy, it's much more important in the spiritual realm. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, says Jesus. He's making a claim here now that he is the only sure foundation for your life. And that no matter what storms may come, he is a sure foundation. So he's saying, you ask yourself then whether he is the person you're building your life on. His person. His death on the cross, his victorious resurrection from the dead, his promises. So when the trials come, increasingly you find you can draw strength from being on the rock, Jesus Christ. I read an account too this last week that made me smile of a husband and wife speaking. We had an unusual call in our house this last week on Wednesday evening, quite late at night. Some unusual Jewish sect group were going door to door in the street here and asking people questions. Well, I read an account of this lady answering the door to someone who was at her door with a Bible, but asked her very abruptly, and this was a rather strange thing to do, but he apparently, when she answered the door, asked her, do you know, are you trusting in Jesus Christ? And the woman said to her husband, I didn't know what to say to him. So I just closed the door in his face. Husband said to her, why didn't you tell him that you were a Sunday school teacher? Why didn't you tell him that you were president of the Women's Missionary Society? She said, well, that's not what he asked me. He asked, do you know, are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Now that's what Jesus is talking about here then. He's saying, is he really the foundation for your life? And he's saying that in hearing his word this morning, if you've not embraced Jesus Christ as your God and Savior, this morning you can bow your heart to him. You can turn from self-will and surrender to him and recognize he is the only foundation that will survive not only the tests of this life, but the final test of judgment to come. And he invites you to do that now. That the Lord will bless his word to us. That as we look to him in prayer, you can know what this assurance, what it means to begin this morning, to build your life on him. So let's pray together. Let us all pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are that solid rock on which every true Christian builds his or her life. We thank you that you're the Saviour who cleanses from sin, who gives us righteousness before God, that rock on which we build to stand not only in the trials of this life, but that final trial on that last day, the day of judgment before God. And so, Lord, we pray, if any are here this morning who have never before trusted in you in that way, that they will pray, Lord Jesus, I turn to you to build my life on you this morning, to take you as Lord and Saviour and King. I want to build my life on you, the solid rock. And Lord, we thank you this morning that no one who comes to you and prays in that way is ever turned away. So bless your word to us all. And we ask all these mercies, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing as a closing hymn, a hymn which expresses this assurance of building upon Jesus Christ, for hymn 586, where Edward Mote has written this hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame by that he means by the sweet, any other sweet sort of theory or idea that I could build my life on, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. 586, and we'll stand to sing. Let us pray together. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the same spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.